everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 210 of the Overseas Connection, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's gaming for the elderly. And today is March 11th, 2013. I strike that. It's March 12th. That time zone change we had here in the States apparently affecting my ability to tell dates.
You've lost a day.
I have lost a day. It wasn't just an hour of sleep I lost. I lost a full day, apparently. But joining me this week, Mr. Richard Primrose.
Yes, and you might not know this, people that are listening, but that was the first time I've ever been on this podcast where Greg has done his introduction in one take. So, cozy and intimate, but it's working so far.
Yes, cozy and intimate indeed, because it is just you and I, and I don't know if I actually introduced myself. This is how discombobulated I am from this whole daylight savings business. My name's Greg DeLacy. You know me probably as Murphy's Law on most of the boards and forums and all that good stuff. We don't have Mr. Mike Chin or Mr. Christopher Matthew with us this week. Both of them having better things to do than spend their time podcasting. Chris is actually on vacation, so good on him. Enjoy the time away, Chris. Mike is just being an old fuddy-dud. He thinks he needs sleep, apparently.
Yeah, Chris was moaning the other day about he was bitching at the airport about people taking too long to get their keys and stuff out of passport control. It's coming out of the conveyor. So
take it all back. Apparently, Chris, being an old fuddy-dud, too.
Yeah. I would like to be in an airport with a pissed-off Christopher Matthew, anyway. But there you go. Hopefully he's relaxing now.
Yeah, he can have a little bit of a menacing look to him. Yeah, he is a fairly large guy. He's not tiny, short. He's tall, broad shouldered. You know, you would not want to meet up with this guy in a dark alley, or any alley for that fact. But no, Chris is a nice guy. We give him a hard time. He has that gruff exterior, but he's a teddy bear. That's right, Chris. I just called you a teddy bear. Deal. All right, this is going to be either the best show or the worst show, or quite possibly just a plain old short show. I don't know, Rich. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think right now we're going to talk about video games.
Go on, then. Let's do that.
What you been playing? What you been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right, so Rich, games. Ironically, I know one of the games you've been playing because I've been playing that game too.
What would that be?
That would be XCOM, specifically XCOM multiplayer.
Yeah,
it's the tournament has kicked off on G4TE, and it's been fun.
It's a good one, this, because firstly, before we get into talk about the game, it's because it's just one-on-one, it seems as if it's quite easy to organise. I mean, I got mine organised within 48 hours of it going up on the site, and just got up in the morning. It's really quick to play as well. You're just doing wrong round, so, and we actually had an extra couple of goes as well. I like it. Yeah. I like the format of the tournament. It's very.
I do as well. I can't say it was as easy for me to get my first match underway, only because I am matching up against somebody out in Australia. I believe you actually played somebody in Australia as well. Didn't you play Metric Pizza?
I did, yes.
Yeah. So I was playing against DeChandy, who is also out that way, which for me, I think it's a little more problematic than it is for you. Because with all of the time change business, and so here in the States, we just went through our daylight savings time change, which I can't stand. I don't get it. It's for farmers, and farmers don't need daylight savings anymore. They've got tractors with lights. So let's get past it. We don't need to change the clocks anymore. But that all said, so we have the time change going on. And of course, I'm trying to figure out his time zone because he actually is on the other side of the international dateline. So at 11 o'clock my time in the morning, it was 5 o'clock in the morning, his time, the next day.
Yeah.
Trying to schedule that up was feeling like just impossible. But then by random chance, he jumped on, I was on, and we're just like, let's do this. So from that standpoint, far easier because he didn't have to worry about trying to, you know, coordinate any other people. It was just you and the other person. Rich, why don't you go over the tournament rules if you want? Maybe kind of set up the premise so people kind of get an idea of how the tournament's playing out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we spoke briefly about the multiplayer last week when me and you had a go. So what the restrictions are on this is that you have 10,000 points to spend. So you can build your squad from that. It doesn't matter how many men you've got or whatever, you can do what you want. And then you have, when you take the difference with the single player to this is that you've got a countdown timer. So that's the hardest thing I've found to adjust to, because you've got to get all your moves in before your timer runs out.
Right.
I think we're on 120 seconds. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. And I find that pretty generous. I don't usually find myself really up against it. Especially with 10,000 points, you're kind of limited on the amount of units typically you're probably putting on to the battlefield. That, so
that's what I was about to say. Well, what that's done, the time thing, because I played that game with you, that I was getting it right down to the wire. So what I found is that I was just trying to build basically a smaller squad anyway,
right.
Just running with that. But yeah. Yeah, should we go for each other's matches and talk?
We can do. Actually, I was gonna do that in a different fashion. Metric Pizza, loved the dude, was awesome, and he not only reported up on the site the results of your match.
Yep.
But he did it in quite the story fashion. So I was gonna actually read through it real quickly because I found it rather entertaining, and I, you know, I have to admit, I totally like glommed onto that and was like, oh, I'll do one for my match too, but I'm not going to be, I won't read mine off. But I wanted to read off Metric Pizza's because, I found his, quite entertaining. So, here we go.
Mission report. Metric
yes,
Pizza.
Mission report from Metric Pizza. Submission funds, Metric Pizza, 9,950 points. Skullduggerer, 9,900 points, which would mean, Skull, you would get first move.
That's
in
right.
The mission, yeah. In the game.
Right, and what I'll talk you through is what was happening at my end, because you wouldn't know. So
okay.
Before we get going on that report, just give you an idea of what I built. I went looking up tactics on the internet, and there was...
before, look at you.
No, well, I had to, because I didn't know anything about the alien unit, so I thought I was going to have a look.
Smart. It's smart.
So, anyway, I went, and there was an interview with one of the devs before the game came out, and he was talking through with a reviewer the different tactics to use, and he basically had four builds for different squads. And one of the squads that took my interest, because it's something that I've not played with, was the floaters.
And right.
It was a floater squad. So it was basically four floaters, two heavies and two normal. So now you can take it from there. But know this, on my first round, because I was getting used to the abilities of them, I flew one of my floaters into a truck. And he got jammed up in it.
Oh, no.
So I spent probably about the next two or three rounds trying to work out how to get this thing out of the truck, because it got jammed in it. But I did get it out eventually, so I'm not taking anything away for what is in this operations report. So continue.
Yes. Great. Okay. All right, so it starts off location. The map was the bar. So every map... I should probably say this. Every map in the multiplayer is basically symmetrical. It has one building in the center or area, kind of main area in the center, and then there's kind of a surrounding area that you can literally skirt the entire center area. So I'm not 100% sure everything is always a building, but I'm pretty confident it is. So that said, this scene was the bar. So in the middle is a bar, you know, saloon, whatever you want to call it, discotheque. God, that makes me sound way old. But anyway, here we go. So it starts off. The squad had been called out to investigate an alien sighting in a well-known night spot. Patrons had fled the scene, though some were not so lucky. After deployment, Mort took up position on the southwestern side of the abandoned SUV. The rest of the squad to try and flush out the enemy. Roland and Zed advanced to the light blue SUV and took cover. Ned proceeded past to watch the flank. No contact. Roland moved forward to the delivery van while Zed moved to the dark SUV. Ned thought he caught a glimpse of the enemy, but after taking cover behind the bonnet, could not tell where it was. He kneeled this is where spell check would have been awesome. Just throwing that out there, Metric Pizza. He keened his senses and waited for the impending strike. Mort surveyed the area, keeping close watch on his comrades. Ned took cover and watched four flankers. An uneasy feeling fell over him, like he had forgotten something important. That is when the enemy attacked. Ned was pinned down behind the SUV. A floating abomination had appeared at the corner of the building and was laying down suppression fire. The light-colored SUV behind Zed burst into flames. Another enemy appeared on the rooftop above Roland and proceeded to rain bursts of plasma down around the seasoned veteran. Roland takes an initial reaction shot, but only manages to take out the edge of the low rooftop wall. A third floater appears above Zed and pauses. I believe that's where you got stuck.
No, that was around the corner. That was somewhere else that was.
All right, so he goes on. Zed makes a strategic retreat, dodging incoming fire to a reinforced lamppost. When the two SUVs explode, everyone is clear of the blast radius. Mort takes aim at the elevated floater. The shot strikes true. He signals Roland that the route is clear and motions for him to back away from the building to get a better shot. Roland sprints for the alien pod for some hard cover. He sidesteps instantly after stepping out and manages to dodge an almost certainly lethal charge of plasma. Not quite out of breath, Roland turns and fires at the alien, hounding him from the rooftop. Direct hit. He pauses to give Mort a thumbs up. God, that's like cinematic right there. I could just see it, you know. Yeah!
What you won't notice as well is is from that description, you can see there's only been three floaters mentioned there. That's because I am still stuck. My arse is back at the spawn point. Yeah. Carry on, Greg. Carry on.
All right. He continues. Zed starts to advance to the burned-out SUV. He is caught off guard by the enemy and takes a critical hit. He is lying in agony until he passes out. Ned, hearing his brother's scream, forgets all senses of his surroundings and runs towards the only sound that matters. Roland moves up to the van once more, pushing down his urge to run to his comrade's side. Ned will get him, he thinks to himself. I need to take this creature out. What's this? Another one?
Yeah.
It's like you got unstuck.
At this point, just breaking the fourth wall, let's pull back out of the game. This is where I was using my psychological warfare on Metric. What I was doing was I was saying, "Oh, your man's down. Do you really want to go out there and heal him? Do you really want to?" Because he didn't know if I had anybody covering that man that was down. So I was trying to just do his head in with that. But he will lead on and explain what was really happening at his side of the thing.
Okay. So Roland signals to Mort that he has spotted another alien. Mort aims in the direction and scopes up the beast. The beam weapon passes through the thin metal body of the truck cabin and into the flesh of the unsuspecting creature. Roland takes two shots at the alien that took out Zed. Both dissipate into the alien pod without effect. Ned arrives at the SUV. His brother is bleeding out. He reaches for his medical kit. It is not there. There is only a rifle scope. That is poor planning.
Yes.
Knowing he cannot save his brother, he loses all fear, attaches the scope, and goes on the offensive. So I can see this again in a movie. It's kind of like, you're fucked. All right, well, whatever. Scope on. Let's go. He takes a well-aimed shot at the floater beside the pod and manages to inflict a deep wound. The creature writhes in pain and anguish. Suddenly, the two aliens rise up into the air and land either side of Mort, firing inaccurately, no doubt because of their wounds. Mort panics and runs for the pod at the south end of the bar. He is hit in the leg but manages to drag himself to cover. Ned turns and shoots, taking one of the enemy down. Mort is vulnerable. Roland needs to take action. He does not want to see two comrades fall today. He looks down at his weapon, empty. There is no time to reload. He runs straight at the last remaining alien to cause a distraction, or at the very least, an alternate target. He is too far away. The alien ignores Roland and goes for the kill. The shot is wide. Mort pulls himself up and aims at the attacking monster, holds his breath, and fires. Game over.
I tell you what, I got so many misses in that game as well. You know, when you get your high percentages, and I was high percentages and just missing. It was terrible. It's horrible.
No, I can honestly say I don't think there's anything more frustrating than when you have a high percentage shot and you manage to get the 10%, you know, miss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his sniper hit every single time. Every time he shot, he hit something. It was unbelievable. One of the things that, just talking tactics from that as well, one of the things that I didn't get the gist of until halfway through the game was the wicked ability you've got with the floater, where you can basically, you use up both your moves, but you can transport the floater anywhere on the map.
Yes.
That's really cool little ability. But, yeah, like I say, live and learn. Yeah. Live and learn.
Sure. And it was only round one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a little bit of bragging on my end that I took the Chanty down four kills to none. He came at me with a four squad team. I had basically a sniper and a assault trooper combo, and was able to take him out.
So you just had two men on the field.
Correct. Oh, okay. Correct. Okay. But I will say I was fortunate because there were a couple critical misses towards the latter part of our match that really helped me to turn the tide. Had I not had one in particular miss happen, the complete makeup of the game could have gone south on me. So, no, DeChanty played a great game. We went a full 15 turns, I think. So it was quite lengthy, almost an hour, for us playing. So,
yeah, a bit more.
Or I guess that wouldn't be quite an hour, but yeah.
No, it was about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think ours, I take it back. I think ours was about 25 minutes. I say an hour just because I remember when we finally got started, I looked at the clock at one point and then realized I had to jump off my match with him and roll right into my Halo 4 tournament match. But we'll talk about that shortly. Anyway, so yeah, XCOM, still great. Having fun with it. The tournament is a blast. And Metric, I would already say let's do a follow-up tournament after this. This was good times.
Yeah, this could be the training one.
Yeah, exactly.
I need the training.
In fact, maybe we all put in some points or something for a little kitty that we can spread out for placing in the ranks, that kind of thing. Who knows?
Would you think I like giving money away, Greg?
Yes, you do. You do, Rich. You do. But anyway, so that's the fun part too of the tournament is because these games literally write their own kind of stories. Especially when you just sit back and kind of think it through, you can come up with some fun little narratives. I know on mine, I kind of took a route because it was all human squad. It was more of a UNSC Marines versus the insurrectionists from the Halo stories. But anyway, enough of that. Rich, let's talk about other games you've been playing besides XCOM.
Yes. I checked out Real Racing 3.
Did you now?
Yes, on the iPad.
So this is a great game for us to talk about because this is actually going to lead into our next week question. So, in fact, two of the games I see on your list of playthrough – actually talk right to the question of the week for next week. So let's talk Real Racing 3, and then after that, I take it back. I thought that was Happy Wars, Rich, not Halo Wars.
No, I played that last week, Greg.
Got it. Well, Happy Wars ties in too, so let's talk Real Racing 3, though, first.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think it's a really clever move that they've made this a free-to-play, well, freemium game, as it were, because Real Racing, for those that don't know, is a top-end driving game for the iPad. So I've never jumped in and bought it because I think it's quite a high price, if I remember rightly.
Right. If I remember correctly, it was fairly pricey.
Yeah, it's about
especially for an iPad.
Yeah, it's about £11.99 wise or something daft like that. But it's fairly big. I can remember seeing it because my mate showed it me. It was his show off game for when he first got an iPad 1, the first one, and it did look really impressive then. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna get this. So I got it and basically started off, you get given a budget of £35,000, so you can only really afford to buy one of the bottom level cars. So there's a Ford Focus, a Nissan, and a couple of other cars which are out of your price bracket to start off with. So I went with the Ford Focus. Each race starts with all the assists on, and I think that is a good place to start as well, because obviously, it's the we spoke the other week about touch controls and stuff.
Sure.
On the screen. So the only thing you really need to use on the touch screen with the assists and stuff on is the brake. How it affects you if you turn them assists off, I don't know. You might have to tip forward for accelerate and all that sort of stuff. But anyway, it's really good to play. It's fun to play as well, which is very important for me in a driving game. I don't like it to be too hard and be, you know, worrying about hitting corners right and all that lot. You can cook.
You want a little of the arcade.
Yeah, it's got a bit of an arcade feel to it. But these tracks are all familiar to you. They're all tracks that, what I've seen so far, they're all tracks that you'll see in Forza.
Okay.
The good thing for me is you know where the turns are going to be and so on. That's good. And with the assists and stuff on, it's a good feel. And there's a nice, I think it's got a nice steady inclined difficulty-wise. You appear to be winning the races quite easily once you get past the pack, as it were, to start off with. And there's different challenges as well. So it's not just coming first in the race. You've got hit 100 miles an hour before you hit a certain marker on the track. Little time trial type things like that it'll drop in. Now I've heard the banter about having to lay out money, and here's where I stand on that. I don't think if they're going to put all of the money that they have done into the development, that it is a bad thing to say, yeah, you can lay some money out to get cars and so on. To go and buy extra cars. The thing that I don't like is when you get the stuff to do with, it looks like you have to pay for repairs and so on. Things that will stop
right.
Your gameplay. But I'm not feeling any of that. Because it's a casual game and you're only jumping on every now and again, there's a time factor. So the time's ticking
right.
And you can come back to it later and you'll not have an issue with doing any of that stuff. But when you do look at what some of the expensive cars would cost later on down the line, I find it hard to believe that you're going to be able to get them cars by just playing free. But nevertheless,
right.
For a game that they're expecting to have a certain amount of investment, if it was version 2 or version 1, I haven't really got a grudge with that. There's no advertising or anything like that. It plays like a full game. The menus are all there, laid out interactively, and you can do upgrades if you want to put some money into your car that you're using at the moment. Although that, as well, is something that changes your mindset as well. Because if I was in Forza I would have no problem going, running a few races, earning some credits, and putting a whole load of money into a car that I know that I won't be using
right.
in a couple of rounds' time. Now, I'd probably be more reluctant to put money into upgrades when I know that probably a few rounds down the way, I'm going to lose that investment because I'm not going to really be using that car that much. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you mean. A question for you. In terms of time gating, is there, and I apologize if you mentioned this and I somehow missed this with your descriptions mm-hmm. on the game, but do they time gate you at all in terms of like repairing or changing things out if you need to conduct some repairs that it will take X amount of like minutes for it to do unless you kind of unlock it, you can kind of pay to have it done faster?
That's it, yeah, but you're paying for the repairs. So right. at the moment, if you're a good driver and you're staying on the tarmac all the time, your car's going to wear down a lot slower than if you're like me, where you're cutting corners and going on asphalt and grass and stuff.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
that causes that's quite a clever thing. It's causing damage to your car whilst you're running your race if you're not running the race well.
Right.
But as I've said, because I'm not like sitting there playing it for 40 minute spells, I'm just picking it up, having a couple of races and then putting it down again and coming back to it later. I've not felt any effects of that.
Well, let me ask you this, and maybe that's because you haven't come to the situation yet, but let's say you're racing mm-hmm. and I don't know, maybe you're waiting for something and so, you know, you pick up the iPad, you want to get some real racing in to pass the time or whatever, and you hit a time gate because, you know, your car is wrecked and, you know, maybe you still have a good 10 more minutes of waiting time on your end mm-hmm. and you would be playing the game, but now you're having to sit and either, you know, not play it because you don't want to pay.
Yep.
Or, you know, are you going to be inclined to pony up and pay to get that repair to happen then so you can go and do a little more racing?
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Like I say, I mean, if I'm looking at the amount of investment they would be asking for if that game wasn't free, if they right. were saying to me, well, give us 60p and we'll fix your car for you, then fair enough. But then that's my choice. You know,
sure.
You know, I might not be inclined. This is the thing with casual gaming. You've got that many things on your iPad. I'd probably be more inclined to say, right, oh, no, I can't play at the minute. I'm going to play Tilt to Live for another
few right, minutes. Right.
You know, and, yeah.
Well, and that absolutely is kind of the counter-argument to it in that, you know, the paywalls are there to kind of encourage you to fork over some money for the game.
Yeah.
I know they talked about it on Weekend Confirm pretty extensively just this past week about – you know, free-to-play games and kind of the model and how they, you know, they want to get millions to just fork over a couple bucks versus a couple hundred thousand to pay full price. It's going to work out in their best interest to go the cheaper, you know, smaller pays, payouts, if you will, but a lot more of a user base. But like you're saying, if the vast majority of people – and when I say vast majority, I mean if most people are just inclined to be like, ah, well, I'll let it repair and I'll go play Angry Birds for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then suddenly is that model maybe not working?
Well, I would say it's working, but the thing that would worry me, and this is another thing that I'm guessing you're going to probably go onto this later, if this sort of model was to roll out onto consoles, then I would start to worry about it. Because if you look at the larger percentage of the games you're going to be playing on the iPad, the whole importance of things like story and gameplay and so on, and game design, are a lot less for larger games. Sorry, a lot less for mobile games than they are for larger games. What would worry right. me is if they rolled out this sort of format for a larger scale title, like what we have been seeing with, say, Dead Space, microtransactions, if they did things like this in that, where it was going to impede your gameplay, or, indeed, like I mentioned last week, if it was something that was going to upset the balance of the game so much that your investment would be leading you to make the game a lot easier for yourself, then the guys that are designing the game must be going through a hell of a job trying to work out how to make that game balanced for when you're playing it. And that's only right. going to affect the quality of the games you're going to get going moving forward. So that would worry me. But in the format that it's in for this, which is a driving game, you know, we're not too worried about ongoing stories and you know, you're hitting the key point in a story and going, damn, I've got to put some money in because it's, you know, my time has run out or whatever. If that's not happening, then I've not got a problem with it, really. It's not too bad a thing. And that discussion you're talking about on Weekend Confirmed was very interesting. I enjoyed
it. No, it was, yeah. I think your fears probably are going to be a little more reality just based on what we're seeing right now in the industry. I mean, let's face it, Dust514 has this very model that we're seeing with Real Racing 3, in that you pay for all of your equipment and it's used up.
Yeah.
So if you die, your gun goes. Now, granted, it's pennies for you to buy a whole bunch of uses of the guns, but it, nonetheless, your equipment is tied to a paywall. And we have other games like Happy Wars, and we know that things like Uncharted 3, they just did recently kind of a free-to-play model, a version of it with Uncharted 3 multiplayer. And they're kind of releasing the game out in different chunks in terms of how you want to pay for it to get into it. I think this model is going to continue to get explored. And that kind of leads us to next week's question, and we'll reiterate this towards the end of the show. But it's basically, you know, as we look towards the next generation, you know, are you going to be more in favor, or would you be in favor of a microtransaction free-to-play style game over full retail with the consoles? There's huge kind of differences to it. I mean, with a full retail game right now, the biggest concern we have, it's not so much how is the publisher trying to screw us over, it's is the game good or not. With free to play, what's nice is you kind of get a pass on the is it good or not, but you're constantly trying to, you know, at least for me, I'm always kind of trying to figure out, okay, what's the catch? Where are they trying to get me? Where are they trying to pull money out of me? And it is kind of funny because it is such smaller amounts of money compared to what I pay for a full retail game. But that also in the past has been there's been a big difference in quality. And what I'm wondering is if we're going to also see maybe, you know, if the quality of games starts to shift and we see these free to play games truly taking on a good quality, polish to them and depth to them. You know, is the microtransaction free-to-play game model something you'd rather support in next-gen over a full retail price game?
Yeah, I think the thing that the developers have got to be worried about as well is us as gamers and what our commitments would be if that model became increasingly the norm. Because I think we've spoke about this before. I think you devalue a game that you see as being free as well. Whereas if I went to a shop and picked up a game for $60, and then started playing that game, I know that I'm committed to try and finish it. God knows I've got a pile of shame, but I will always want to finish that game. If you're giving me free to play, then they're going to have to start. What'll happen is people will be picking it up. They'll be playing it for five days or whatever, and then realizing they've got playing it like a demo, you know, and then seeing that they don't want to make the investment in it, and then they've not made any money off it. Kojima, did you read the article that Kojima came out with this week talking about pilots in games? Instead of developers committing to lay down millions and millions of pounds to develop a game. And this is a very valid idea, and it's something that should be thought about, is putting the initial investment into making a game and almost seeing it as like a pilot. So you pick up that pilot from your digital download outlet, whether it be PSN or Xbox Live, and then you play that more or less like what you would be doing with The Walking Dead, the first episode. And then they then can gauge the amount of interest there is in it, and then it's almost like they're focus testing what people want to see. And they're not laying out millions and millions of dollars straight away and having like a 2-year development cycle with their teams. So the flexibility is going to come into play for digital, and it might be a positive thing and it might be a negative thing. You know, the free to play model has got a negative reputation, I think, with a lot of people that are gamers, but I think there's also benefits to be had with ideas like what Kojima's talking about as well. So yeah, it's interesting times indeed.
It is. And speaking of interesting times, we're going to have an interesting time right now. All right, so as I alluded to, it is getting a little crazy fun. Now we've got Mr. Richard Webster dropping in out of nowhere. Rich, big bad daddy. I know. You're like Thor coming down with your hammer and wham.
Well, somebody had to come on the show and talk about Skyrim, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Primrose wasn't going to do it. Yeah, so Rich, how you been? Yeah, sorry, I gotta clarify. I gotta start calling you guys your gamer tag probably because, Mr. Webster.
Yes.
I'll give you a proper, proper something. Mr. Webster.
Introduction,
how have you been?
Is the word.
Yeah. It's all escaping me now. I'm in such awe.
Well, it's gone downhill since you was here, Rich. I'm telling you.
I know we're getting our notes scribbled on fax machines nowadays. What's going on?
We're just talking games. So we just were talking about free-to-play models versus premium full retail model on gaming. I know you've got some thoughts on it. I know we just kind of spewed off our thoughts, but let's hear your quick take on it, and then we'll continue on talking about games we've been playing.
Yeah, okay. Well, there's a couple of games that I personally have played in the past a fair bit that were that followed this model, and that was Battlefield Heroes, which is the browser-based sort of third-person cartoony version of Battlefield, but it's still fun. And Lord of the Rings Online, when that went free-to-play.
Yeah, right.
Both of those games let you pay next to nothing for little things to add to the game. Battlefield Heroes is more like different outfits and stuff like that. Doesn't really affect the gameplay as much, whereas Lord of the Rings Online, you pay like £1 for a special horse, or you pay a couple of quid for like, you know, something like extra health for so long, and you don't have to wait so long to come back, and things like that. So, you know, I'm no stranger to the free to play, but pay as you play kind of thing. And it is something that seems to be taking off quite a lot. A lot of people seem to be jumping on the bandwagon.
Right. A lot of money being made.
Yeah. It reminds me of the arcades as well. Like, you know, it's only a quarter, you know, but 100 quarters is a lot of money.
That is a great analogy, Rich. That, I mean, seriously, it really is. The arcades are, in a sense, kind of making a comeback through this model.
Yeah.
They just drip feed you and make you pay another quarter, drop another quarter, drop another quarter.
That's what it is. And at the time, you think, oh, it's only a quarter, but then
right. You
step back and you look at your life and you're like, shit, I've just spent, you know, the rent on Pac-Man.
Yeah, maxed out my credit card.
Yeah, holy shit.
But I got horse armor.
I mean, we were talking briefly about it before, about how you're scared it might affect the single player, and I kind of agree because, like we said, this microtransaction thing doesn't really exist in single player games. It seems it's pointless because if you're playing on your own, you expect to unlock things as you go. You know, it's sort of a reward for the time you're putting in. So if they're jumping on this, microtransactions, it's really only going to work in multiplayer. It's the show off to your friends sort of thing, isn't it? You know, look at this, you know, gold gun that I've got, or, you know, look at this fantastic house I've got in Simpsons Tapped Out. I don't know how that game works. I've not played it. She loves it, though. She loves it.
Yeah. Well, I guess we shall see. We know it's coming, at least in some form or another. Hopefully they're able to find some good balances to it, and we'll definitely get the pulse of the community next week when we start diving into that question. For now, let's jump back into games we've been playing. Primrose, I'm going to have you finish out real quick.
Yep.
I know you've got a couple oldies, yep. And then one I believe you just finished.
Yes, I finished Far Cry 3. So, for me, I thoroughly enjoyed the single player. I was very disappointed with what you had to do at the end, because it was basically, I mean, a lot of people have spoke about, I'm not going to go into the story, but there was talking right. about the whole sequence that ended the final
choice,
battle.
Well,
no, not so much the choice. I'm talking about Hoyt, you know, the guy. And how it went into that last battle with him. But what peeved me off about that was the fact that it was the quick time event thing. And, you know, the quick time events were all right, but I think they have to be fairly relaxed if they're going to do it. But this one, it seemed to be, you've got to get the rhythm of the buttons, and they were almost instantaneous. And if you didn't press them, then you lost out and you had to replay and it had to load and you had to.
Oh, God, yeah.
And God, that was just stupid. I thought that bit was stupid. Right. The choice aspect of it, I wasn't too bothered about.
I just felt the choice was so just ridiculous that they were even asking that choice.
Yeah.
To me, was just like, they did not build up enough backstory for that choice to have ever been seriously considered. I never felt like the single player, the main character ever got vested enough in this other, group to warrant him suddenly being like, nope, I'm going to go this direction. I'm trying to avoid completely spoiling this, but Far Cry 3 has been out long enough, I would say, that most have probably heard the end of the game. But
I have. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
it's fine.
No, I won't spoil it. I'm not going to spoil it.
No, it's fine. Yeah. I'll forget by tomorrow. It's fine.
No, it was just, you know, they have you doing a choice that, you know, it's kind of one of those choices leading into an alternate ending kind of scenario. But again, I just felt, one, the choice was ridiculous, and two, I did play both, so I saw both endings, and to me, it's like, why?
Let me just ask, because I've not completed that game yet.
Okay.
Does the dude get his surfboard back? That's what I want to know.
You don't know.
You don't. Far Cry 4. There you go. We nailed it.
They did not cover the surfboard. I would also like to say that I think they could have done a lot more with the characters Voss and Hoyt. I found both those enemy villain characters to be really interesting and wanted to see more of them, and there just wasn't.
Voss frustrated me more than Hoyt. They would have needed to fill out Hoyt a lot more. It seemed like you enter a definite second section of the game, which is all to do with Hoyt's minions and so on, and I don't think they played him into it enough for me to be that bothered about it. Voss was a totally different story because he was so strong in the opening of the game, and then it just seemed to peter out ridiculously, which was a bit silly. But
right, and I guess that's where I'm coming from, because with Voss, I was like, all right, well, that chapter, so to speak, is closed, moving on, and then Hoyt comes in, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know what? This guy has some potential, but it feels like he's there and gone in a blink of an eye, and it's like, well, he could have been really cool. I mean, you could have, either one of those characters, quite honestly, I could have seen them build the entire single player around and flesh them out a lot more than they did. So,
if anybody are hankering for the red-shirted guys as well, because they're in the second section of the game now and they don't see the red-shirted guys, get yourself on GameSpot's website, and they've done a wicked, it's like a nature documentary all about the red-shirted guys, and it's brilliant. It's been edited brilliant, and it's very funny. So
excellent.
Yeah, that's worth watching.
All right.
Yeah. So briefly, I jumped back onto Rage, because I want to get that finished out. After I'd finished the game, I want to get my boat race in front of some credits again, but I've not finished it yet. That game's so frustrating, because you don't get any markers indicating where your next mission is, and it's a pain in the arse, and I can remember it bugging me before, and it's bugging me again. So that's all I'm saying about that. After the XCOM, I jumped into Halo Wars, because again, I'm on the last mission as a single player for that, so I wanted to finish that. And I know what I'm doing on it, but I keep repeatedly trying to... The last level on that is time-based, so you've got half an hour to complete what you need to do on it, and it's frustrating me, because I'm getting everything done, and I'm having to unlock doors. I know how to unlock the doors. You've got to do them in pairs. I know that, but I just don't... I'm having frustration because I'm getting pairs unlocked because I've captured bases opposite each other, and I just can't unlock them because the lock's grayed out, but it's doing my head in. But anyway, moving on from that, Fallout 3, which I bought on that stupid sale that was on, the Steam-like sale that came about.
The ultimate game sale, whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, I heard today as well Sleeping Dogs is on there for $8.99, which is
There's a whole, like, Square Enix sale going on.
Yeah, yeah. So, on Xbox, they're trying to compete with Steam now. I think they realized.
Yeah, I was there last week giving away games for like £4.
Yeah, they're doing it again this week with Square Enix.
Yeah. Jesus. What's going on, Microsoft?
Everybody should spend the money before they bring out a new console and then tell you can't play it on the new console.
Yeah, pretty much. Sell it while we can.
Yeah. So Fallout 3, I'm getting back into that. So much more time consuming than Skyrim, Rich. If I could jump on Skyrim and I was like at the beginning of the game, I could, you know, if I'm on for an hour, I could find myself completing probably, you know, 3 or 4 quests. But in this, it just seems like it takes me ages just to complete one task type thing. And that's
probably down to the fact that there's only meant to be about 3 people that are alive. You know what I mean? Skyrim's like a living, breathing place, whereas Fallout 3 is just like what was left after the disaster. Right.
But it just
what they were going for.
It just makes me feel like I'm playing the game wrong all the time.
No, it's very lonely. Oblivion's like that, though. If you go back to Oblivion, it's the same. Oblivion seems really like spread out and lonely. I think it's just, you know.
And if you look at Skyrim, too, the amount of quests available are probably double what you see in Fallout 3 or Oblivion. I mean, they have a lot in close proximity. Just little side quests, little missions you can take on all over the place. Whereas in Fallout 3, as I recall, they were kind of centered around cityscapes, but there wasn't a lot in between unless you had unlocked something specific to that, you know, kind of area out in the wasteland.
And most of the quests, like 90%, were, I wouldn't say large, but big, you know, fairly big quests, and there weren't that many because most of them had an achievement attached to them, if you remember.
Yeah,
you know
true.
What I mean? Mm. Even like the ones where it was like collect a few bottle caps for some sexy woman. Some man wants to fuck, but you either kill him or give him the bottle caps to give to her so he can fuck her, or you fuck her, but you can't because it's not real. and you get an achievement for it. I remember that one. Vaguely remember that one.
Yeah.
There you go.
VATS. Got a quick question on VATS. You know how you get the option, if you get the headshot and stuff, you can blow the reds off. That's quite simple. Is there anything to be gained by putting a couple of shots on the legs and stuff? Does it make them slow down? Because I've done that, and it doesn't appear to do anything.
Yeah, it does. You cripple the legs, they can't run. It's only beneficial depending on the adversary. If you think like super mutants.
Like humans, yeah.
Super mutants, the humans can't run at you. You know, basically... One of the weapons you can make is a dart gun, right? And it's absolutely shit, right? Except it's got like 1,000 damage against legs. So if you use it on a deathclaw, for example, shoot its leg, it'll critical hit their leg and they can't run. They walk. So it's a strategy thing against them. But yeah, there is strategy to using it. Like if you critical their arms, I don't think they can aim very well and stuff like that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep working on that. Yeah, that's it for me. That's me done.
All right. Well, Mr. Webster, let's talk about what you've been playing.
First, I'm just going to jump on SimCity because...
Jump on SimCity or jump all over it?
Well, I'm not really going to get into it too much because I've not really played it, I think, since... I don't even know if I had a PlayStation version years and years and years ago. I think I vaguely remember something.
I honestly don't know.
I'm just looking on the Metacritic because I've heard podcasts go on about it for weeks now, about how it's not as good as it was should have been. And
right.
You know on Metacritic where you've got, on the left, you've got industry critic reviews, and on the right, you've got user reviews.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, user reviews are always amusing.
Well, that's at the top at the moment. This guy gave it a 10, right? Let me read you his review. Okay. Single-player games with always online DRM need to be boycotted. Publishers should stop selling this, and as well, they should stop milking consumers with their games only made for selling 34,235 millions DLC. EA is goddamn crazy and they need to stop their bullcrap. Never buying any EA game ever again. Plus this game is dumbed down and the cities you can create are too stupidly small. There are good things, of course, like, well, there are some, but still not worth buying because always online and DLC milking machine. 10 out of 10.
And yet he gave him a 10 out of 10. Brilliant.
I don't think this person understands the scale of 1 to 10.
No, probably not.
Anyway, well, just quickly, I got a Windows phone a couple of weeks
ago.
I've had a couple of people recommend like some games for me and stuff. Mirror's Edge was one of them.
Okay.
Is that a persistent runner on the mobile, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, it's the running one.
Yeah. I that was quite good back when it came out.
Rich, I can make another recommendation for you if you haven't already heard about it, but Skulls of the Shogun, supposedly very good.
Yeah, I see that on the spotlight on the Xbox Live on it. Not tried it yet, though.
Turn-based combat strategy game.
Yeah. I'll check it out. I will. There is, obviously, Windows phone's a bit behind on the times compared to iPhone and Android.
Right.
I tried this new game the other day called Angry Birds. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I hear it is taking the nation by storm.
Yeah, it seems to be...
5 years ago.
it seems to be wrapping up the world at the moment. I've got all four of them on my phone. A game called Breeze where you play as the wind. What the fuck? You are the wind? You got to blow a flower around so it doesn't go... You know,
hey, wasn't there was the game Flower. Everybody raged about that. Or loved that.
Oh,
come on, you're the wind.
Snake from the Nokia phones or Nokia. I don't know what you call them, Greg, but just
it works.
Paperboy. Just these crazy, you know, state of the art games. But saying that, there's a game on it called The Amazing Spider-Man, which is kind of like a movie tie-in game. And
right.
Do you ever play Spider-Man 2 on the PS2?
Yes.
Exactly the same, which is quite impressive to have on a phone. It's a game just like
that's
that.
That's a good thing.
And that's it for the phones.
Okay. Mobile covered.
Yeah, there you go. PC. I've been playing Far Cry 3, obviously. I think I'm only 6 or 8 hours in. But I just Skyrimed it. You know, as soon as you get out of the little... I want to say African, because it kind of reminds me of Far Cry 2, the way they speak. You know what I mean? But they're in the tropics.
Yeah.
So when the African dude tells you to go away... I leave the village and I just fucked off. I just went all, like, as far as I could. I did, like, four towers, you know, and I'm just right at the beginning. I've been getting me tattoos and...
Have you ventured out into the ocean yet?
Yeah, I hit the invisible wall.
Did you hit any sharks?
Yes. Killed a shark. Got a shark skin. I think I made a purse out of it for me, you know, for me lipstick and stuff.
The first time I encountered a shark, it scared the crap out of me.
I shit myself as well because I was on a jet ski and I just jumped off to have a little look under the water to look at the fish. And I just saw like three sharks. I was like, shit.
You found a big fish.
Yeah. Well, I like the I'm not a fan of quick time events, but the ones in that when like a kimono dragon grabs you or a shark grabs you, it's quite cool because it's like shit. And it's like,
right.
You know, that's quite cool. Assassin's Creed 3, obviously.
Okay.
It's a bit boring. Maybe it's just because there's been about five of them.
Well, it's also because it has like a six-hour tutorial.
That's what I'm stuck in, and I just can't. And the city's too big at the start. Whereas in other Assassin's Creeds, you were given a little bit of the city.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I've got the whole city, and I get lost. And I've only got one mission. And, you know, it's like impossible to get away from the guards as well, because there's like 90 of them on every corner.
Oh, yeah. You know Running away from the guards is a challenge. I found that I think my biggest complaint against Assassin's Creed 3 is the way the maps appear, because as you kind of go out, the way they did the maps, you don't feel like you're in one giant world. You feel like you are in little instances of the Boston kind of area. Mm. And New York area, depending on where you are at the time. But it doesn't – it just kind of is missing – it's missing that cohesiveness. So, like, if you go out to the frontier, you feel like you're being taken somewhere completely different away from the game. You don't feel like you can actually travel to it. You always have to kind of quick time fast travel to it. Same thing with the ships. It's not you can just sail anywhere you want in the ocean. It's you get onto the ship, and then it's you're into a mission, and you have to do something very specific for that mission, as opposed to just being able to sail from one coast, you know, down to another port.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen. You fast travel to different ports.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, really, but... It's all right, you know. It's new Assassin's Creed. It looks nice, plays nice. There's not new little things in it, so I'll keep playing that. I suppose I'll finish it, maybe. What else? I'm in a mood at the moment where I'm trying to finish me games that I never really got around to finishing.
Oh, you see, this is going to be great for our question this week. So save that thought, if you will.
We'll do.
As we get to the next question. Anything else, Rich?
No, that's about it, mate. Oh, the gamer tag's Big Bad Daddy as well. I don't think we told people.
I don't think we did.
People should know anyway. You know, our loyal listeners who've been listening for years.
Yeah, you're like one of the originals. So that's another thing people probably don't really know about you. They're probably like, who's this Richard Webster dude? And why have I not heard from him or on the show in like a gazillion episodes? That's because
I'm like the fifth
you
Beatle.
Decided. Yeah, you are the fifth Beatle.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The ugly fat one who didn't quite make the cut. That's me.
No, you're the skinny little guy in the corner.
Yeah, that's me.
We put you behind the guitar case and you can't see it all. So, no, it's great having you back.
It's great to be back.
I like it.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Enough of us reminiscing. For me, Halo 4 tournament, my team... I feel bad for the guy I'm playing with. So Washington Rambo, great guy. His name's Terry. I have a lot of fun playing with him. He's just not a really good Halo 4 player. And he does the panic when he gets into firefights. So let me just, we had three games. I racked up 22 kills, 19 kills, and 18 kills. And you would think, hearing that, you know, 6 minute game, or a 600 point game, you're doing well, you know, you should be, you know, potentially, you know, best out of, you know, 2-on-2 should be a good thing. He got 4-3-3. It's hard for us to win one, but still have fun. Having
you
fun.
You get 4-3 or 4 kill in Halo. I've not played Halo 4, but we played Halo 3 quite a lot back in the day.
Yeah.
You can get 4 kills. By mistake.
Right. That's my personal thought.
Throw a grenade, 3 kills. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Crazy. It always amazes me because I'm like watching our games and I'm looking at the score. You know, I don't know how many kills he's getting or how many kills I'm getting. I'm just, you know, I'm looking at the score counter. I'm like, okay, we're close. You know, our first game, we lost literally by 1 kill. And I'm like, we're on it. We're close. We're down. Okay, well, we lost, but we were close. And then we got to the scorecard and I'm like, 22-4. I'm like, dude, if you just sneezed out a kill, we would have at least tied. But anyway, so the Halo 4 tournament continues on. Still having fun, though. I do love Halo. But more importantly, I've been playing a ton of Tomb Raider. And I know our time is kind of short at this point. I don't want to glum on about Tomb Raider for too long. I know Mike wanted to talk a lot about Tomb Raider as well because he's been really enjoying it. This game is a fantastic reboot. I have nothing but praise for this game, at least for the single player. The multiplayer, it's okay. It's adequate. It is a Uncharted multiplayer clone, just not as good, not as fleshed out yet, but a good first effort. So, I mean, if you're thinking of it in that regard, you know, this is a good first outing for them all the way around. They can certainly build out the multiplayer better if they decide to do that. I would have loved to have seen some kind of cooperative horde-like mode for Tomb Raider. I think it would have been really good. The story, I think, is very engaging. The graphics in this game are crazy for what I would consider a, you know, it's a multi-platform game that is coming late in the generation for this. I know on PC it looks phenomenal. On consoles it looks phenomenal. I know a lot of people were concerned about Lara Croft and how they were portraying her to be very, you know, kind of whiny, for lack of a better way to put it, not real tough.
Yeah.
My personal take on this is she is one tough young lady, and she is a young lady, and that's the other key factor. When I'm playing through the story, I definitely feel like this is a great reboot. It's showing her finding herself, that inner Tomb Raider, that inner, you know, adventurer comes out. And yes, I know a lot of critics are like, oh, but, you know, one minute she's moaning about having killed a person and the next minute she's killing a whole bunch of people. But there's a consistent theme that they do in this game, and they bring her along really nicely in that you see her evolve and grow, her confidence grows in her abilities. And while, yeah, you know, there's times where she's killing multiple guys and she's pulling off some death animations because those are things that you unlock for like killing blows, but you get a sense that there's never an enthusiastic moment in her about killing all of these people. It's more of, this is my mission. This is what I have to do. You know, to survive, I need to do this. And at one point, yes, she's kind of like a bring it on. Come on, I'm ready. But the moment that surrounds that is very much a moment of her just kind of hitting that boiling point and just being like, fuck this, let's go. You know what? I know I can do this. I'm confident in myself. And so, yeah, I'm just super pleased. My only real criticism for the single player side of it would be, I wish the tombs themselves, because there are some tombs that you discover and there's puzzly bits inside of them, they're very short. I would have liked to have seen them maybe take those a little bit deeper, maybe add a couple additional puzzle pieces to them. So they were a little, not more difficult, but just a little bit longer, a little more exploration to them. Because pretty much it's, you go into the tomb, you make your way to the puzzle portion, you solve the puzzle, you get to the treasure chest, if you will, and then it's over. And I would have liked to have seen maybe, you know, you get to one puzzle and then there's another puzzle, you know, something along that lines. But hey, for a first try at the reboot, it is a perfect direction for Tomb Raider to be going, if you ask me.
How does it begin, Greg? If she's like, you know, inexperienced, she's just starting out, is she on a mission like in the other games where she goes to find some artifact, or does she, or is it like accidental? Is there a plane crash or?
Well, so the very beginning, and they do a good job of explaining this, and there's also some additional documentation that you will are discoverable pieces, and they're not very difficult to find throughout the game that also flesh out kind of the backstory. But the very beginning of the game, and they do a good job of explaining this, she is kind of an assistant archaeologist, if you will, on an archaeological find. They're going off into this kind of Bermuda Triangle. I can't think of the name of it specifically, but they're after this this artifact, and so they're on this ship, and basically the ship goes, you know, it gets hit by this huge storm, basically cracks the ship in half. They you know, basically are stranded on this island, And the survivors, along with her, are on this island. And so the backstory to it is there's a senior archaeologist on this ship with her and actually makes it to the island as well. And so she's kind of emerging because this is the direction of her career and the, you know, what she's decided she wants to become. And she has some instincts to her and she actually has what you would consider to be some better instincts about doing this kind of particular job over the senior archaeologist that's kind of her mentor. And so they set it up kind of nicely on board the ship before the storm hits, and so you get a bit of that backstory, and then there's more of that backstory hits as the story progresses.
So it's kind of like a, you know, she was already sort of like an archaeology student, but she's sort of as if she's always meant to do this kind of thing. Like it's in her to do it.
It is in her a little bit, and they do talk a little bit about some of her training and some of the different things that she has done in the past. So she's, you know, kind of that comes out, and it's like, okay, no, you do know how to do this. You can do this.
Yeah.
On top of you need to do this. In some instances, you know, it's kind of like, no, you need to just suck it up and do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I just, you know, I don't want to glom on and on and on about it, but I really like the way they fleshed out her character. The other survivor characters, I think they could have maybe done a little bit better job of giving them some better backstory. But overall, it feels more like Tomb Raider, especially as you get further into the game. It starts to take on some of the traditional Tomb Raider-ish kind of characteristics. And again, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. But the beginning of this game feels a lot like Uncharted in that you're kind of, you know, it's you against the world, so to speak. It has its own identity.
I'll check it, really it out. Does. I am looking, I do really want to try it out. And, George said even people in work are saying it's really good. You know, people who aren't really like gamers like we are.
Yeah.
So I think I'll be checking that out for sure.
Yeah. I will say, when Lara Croft meets her demise in the game, pretty much they have some pretty gruesome kind of fatality cutscenes for her. And a lot of people also were saying, well, they went too far. No. Yeah. I thought the death scenes for her are always, to me, they're impactful. That's the word I like to use for this game because, moment to moment, it feels like everything is just a real well-oiled machine in this game. And you transition from environment to environment, and often you will miss, you won't even realize loading screens are happening. So they do a great job. But yeah, so that's pretty much it.
Fantastic.
So with that said, we're going to jump into some new releases. All right, so new releases this week on the Wii and the Wii U. Moving to the 3DS, we've got Monster High Skulltimate Roller Maze for the 3DS. And yes, if you didn't pick up on it, there's nothing on the Wii U this week, nor the Wii. It's a sad state of affairs. Also, the Wii U only managed to sell 80,000 units in the month of February. I'm telling you right now,
the US,
it is in serious trouble.
I think Microsoft probably sold about 80,000 controllers.
Well, for a fact, Microsoft actually sold 225,360s in February, and the Sony, the PS3, sold 165,000. So the Wii U is in some serious trouble, at least in the States.
So we use lagging behind two dying consoles. Ouch.
Yeah. All right, moving over to the PS3. God of War Ascension comes out this week. Also, not to be forgotten, Sniper Ghost Warrior 2. Yeah, nobody's going to be playing that game. Everybody's going to be playing God of War. PSN, you've got Darkstalkers Resurrection, Favorite Deer, Enken no Monogatari. I don't know. It's a PS1 import. Don't blame me for the pronunciation. You've got First Queen 4. A lot of PS1 imports coming in this week. Heavy Fire, Shattered Spear, Kessen 2, Mahjong, you know what? There's some PS1 games. I'm not even going to cover them because I can't pronounce them. Psych Yourself comes out this week. Puzzle by Nokia V's, Sudoku? Sure, Nokia 5 Sudoku? Again.
Classic.
I want, real names, like Spades. I don't know. Quantum Theory comes out this week on PSN. You've got Rung Rung Ohs No Ma... Again.
Oh, suck it!
Refuse to talk about PS1 imports anymore. Fuck them. Moving on. The demos. Army of Two. The Devil's Cartel. I don't know. Fuck this game, too. It's going to be horrible, but the demo's out. Darkstalkers Resurrection. Fuel Overdose. And Ninja Gaiden 3. Razor's Edge. All have free demos on the PSN this week. DLC for the PS3, Dead Space 3, Awakened, Metal Gear Rising Revengeance Virtual Reality Missions, and Scott Pilgrim vs. the World Online Multiplayer plus Wallace Pack, all coming out for your download. The Vita sees no love this week. Nothing. Nada. Zip. Moving over to the Xbox 360, we get to look forward to Sniper Ghost Warrior 2. Xbox Live Arcade this week, Darkstalkers Resurrection, demos, that game, Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel, it's out this week, you can have that demo for free. Also, you can play some Darkstalkers Resurrection, Fuel Overdose, and Ninja Gaiden 3, Razor's Edge. DLC this week for the 360, they finally get Battlefield 3 Endgame, and Dead Space 3 Awaken. Moving over to the PC and the Mac. And I say Mac sparingly. You've got Battlefield 3 Endgame, Dead Space 3 Awakened, Endless Space Virtual Awakening, Heavy Fire Shattered Spear, Need for Speed Most Wanted Car Packs coming for PC this week. Also, you have the Terminal Velocity Pack and the Deluxe DLC Pack for Need for Speed Most Wanted, both coming. And Sniper Ghost Warrior 2 for PC, as well as StarCraft 2 Heart of the Swarm. That probably the other biggest game coming out this week, aside from God of War. And that does it for your new releases.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Good God, those stupid PS1 classic games. Those titles are fucking ridiculous.
What a waste of fucking time. Someone had to fucking code them to work on PS3's fucking waste of time.
I mean, Trump she show yo yo. That's a game.
There's a reason
I don't know.
That didn't come out 10 years ago in the West because no one wants to play it. Jesus,
no one can pronounce it. All right, here we go. All right, so it is news quiz time, and Rich, you are taking part in the news quiz. Webster,
yes.
And Primrose, both of you taking part in the news quiz. It's going to go round robin. You both are playing for members of the community this week.
Ooh.
So no free passes for anybody. Mr. Primrose, you are playing for at Nick Nitrous.
Sorry, Nick. If Rich hadn't turned up, you'd be all right, but not now.
And Mr. Webster, you are playing for Marcanix. Now, should you win the news quiz, that person then gets 100 Microsoft points. I know, 100 Microsoft points. It's crazy big.
And?
Yeah. And that's it.
And respect.
100 Microsoft points.
Honor.
Oh, and respect. Yes. Respect, honor. Yes, of course.
All that stuff.
Now, if you win, you do get a bonus question. If you get that bonus question right, they get another 100 points.
Ooh. 200 points?
It's craziness. All right, here we go. News quiz time. Mr. Primrose, you are going to be going second. Mr. Webster, you are going first. Mr. Webster, what XBLA game was revealed / confirmed, canceled by Microsoft last week? Is it A, Matter, B, Castle Storm, or C, Ascend New Gods?
I honestly have no idea. So I'm just going to take a wild guess.
Okay.
For them to confirm that it's been cancelled, it must have been fairly big. What were the three again? Madden.
There's Matter, Castle Storm, or Ascend New Gods.
Castle Storm.
I am sorry, Rich. That is incorrect. It is the game Matter. It was a new Kinect game that was expected to launch on Xbox Live Arcade in 2013. They'd made a big whoop-de-doo about it. It was from basically a partnership with film director Gore Verbinski. And, yeah, no longer. Microsoft no longer is pursuing this title.
Sorry, Mark.
Yeah. So that means, Mr. Primrose, we're moving on to you. And I should note, we're only doing news questions this week because of Mr. Webster jumping into this this podcast late. I didn't have time to prep any achievement questions for him. So,
Things looking up.
Yes, indeed. So, Mr. Primrose, your question this week. The Walking Dead Season 2 has been confirmed to be coming when? A, summer 2013. B, fall 2013. Or B, winter 2014.
Tying in with the TV, getting everybody worked up. I would say they wouldn't want to clash with what would be the first prime holiday season year for the new consoles. So I would say they're going for summer of 2013. Or 14, whatever. Summer.
I'm sorry, Rich, you are wrong. Yeah, no, Telltale's Walking Dead Season 2 is coming in the fall 2013 this year. Yes. Something to look forward to. Unfortunately, you didn't get the question right. But not to worry. That means, Mr. Webster, guess what? You get a news question.
Yeah.
Not that it was going to be any different, but yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Now, this one could be up your alley.
Okay.
With the recent issues with SimCity, while EA is offering refunds to physical media sales through Origin, what is EA offering to digital download buyers? Is it A, nothing, B, 50% off coupon for future purchase, or C, a full refund in credits for other Origin purchases?
It's going to be credit of some kind. Those are probably the only options. I'd say if they give them full refund to retail, then I'd say full refund for Origin.
Unfortunately, that is not the case. No, they're actually not giving any full refund at all for the digital download of the game. Yeah, they sent off some tweets and they said, if you feel regrettably that we let you down, you can of course request a refund for your order, though we are currently still in the process of resolving this issue. Later, the tweet was altered to say, please review our refund policy with a link to here, in which the refund policy says we don't give refunds. So, yeah.
I should have gone with that because Steam has the same thing. So
yeah, Amazon also has a similar policy, but they actually made some exceptions for SimCity and actually have given some refunds to some recent customers. So
good for
anyway.
Them, but not good for Mark. Sorry again, mate.
Yeah, no. All right, Mr. Primrose, This is your opportunity. All right, the Kickstarter for the game Torment: Tides of Numerna is now the fastest game to reach 1 million, and it did it in under 8 hours. How much did Torment get funded in a full first 24 hours? Was it A, $1.4 million, B, $1.7 million, or C, $2.0 million?
2.0.
This is going to be a rough quiz, guys.
Ouch.
Unfortunately, you are wrong. It was 1.7 million.
That's the one that Garnet Lee was bitching about. I'm sure he said it was 2 million.
No, it reached 1.7 in 24 hours, nearly doubling its goal of 900,000.
Clearly, Rich, you didn't watch NBC News because it was on there about 40 minutes ago. I don't know why it's on NBC News. I don't know if that's real. I just made it up.
Well, let's
I'm going to get my dunce hat out. I'll give you one as well, Rich.
Thanks.
All right, Rich. Mr. Webster, you are up next.
Okay.
Which of the following former employees of Epic Games was officially released last week from his advisory role, which he took after initially announcing he was leaving Epic last year?
Cliff Bleszinski.
I'm going to give you the choices
first,
so people that are listening to this in the car can play along.
Oh, shit,
is it A, Rod Ferguson, B, Cliff Bleszinski, or C, Mike Capps?
It could be Rod Ferguson, you know, after he made that game with that studio years ago. I'm going to have to go, grudgingly, with Cliff Bleszinski.
I'm sorry you are wrong.
No, it's Mr. Mike Muscles.
You should know he's like this, Rich. He's a bastard. He's a bastard.
It's Ron, isn't it? It's fucking Ron.
No, it's actually Mike Capps. So Mike Capps last year, he retired last year, but he had stayed on board in an advisory role. As we've been mapping out the future of the new Epic Games, we've decided it was best to get a fresh start with new management. We thank Mike for his years of service at Epic, and we wish him well in retirement and fatherhood. So not even his doing. This was kind of sounds like this is Epic kind of wiping the slate clean. So interesting move on their part. How that pans out down the road. I know a lot of people are saying Epic could just pretty much pull away from making games if they really wanted to and just sell their engine. And maybe that's the direction they're going.
Who was this Mike guy to make the news? Because there was once upon a time when the only people that made the news was Peter Molyneux and Nintendo
Mike
guy.
Mike Capps was actually the president of Epic Games.
Really?
Well, kind of important guy.
Yeah, things have moved on now, Rich. Yeah, that Molyneux bloke, he's just making mobile games nowadays.
Yep, a cube.
Oh, man.
Ridiculous. All right. Mr. Primrose, your question.
I will get one right.
Here we go. This might be a tough one for you, I have to admit, just because it's dealing in U.S. dollars versus British pounds. I apologize. The MMO game Defiance, it's this year's Sci-Fi Channel tie-in game with their new TV show. It's coming out in April. They've announced a season pass that can be purchased in addition to the retail cost of the game. And the retail costs of the game are either $59 for the $59.99 for the regular version or a deluxe version of $99. So the deluxe pack, the season pass is either A, $19.99, B, $29.99, or C, $39.99. How much does a season pass for Defiance cost?
I think it's about 20 quid for a AAA type thing. $29.99.
I'm sorry, you were wrong. Oh.
19 then.
No, it's $39.99.
Fucking hell, that's ridiculous.
It is expensive, that's for sure.
That
it enables access to the game's first five DLC packs, which will include a new playable alien species, along with lots of new weapons, vehicles, missions, and other rewards. Plus, pass buyers get two bonus items, a digital Hellbug combat cap, thank God for that, and an extra lockbox, which is a sealed container in the game for a chance at another item. So there you have it. There is no there's no subscription fee for this game, so it looks like it's going to be supported with some additional microtransactions, which we were talking about earlier. All right, we are moving on now to
God, please move on.
Mr. Webster, God of War Ascension offers buyers access to an exclusive demo to The Last of Us. But the demo is not available right away. When will owners of God of War Ascension get access to The Last of Us demo? Is it April 30th, B, May 15th, or C, May 31st?
Mm. What do you reckon, Rich?
Hello, mate. I think it's out in June, and I don't think they're going to give it that much time before it's out, so I'd go for the later one. Nick Notch is going to go, what the bloody hell are you doing?
Yeah, not the 31st of May. I think it's probably the second one.
So you're saying May 15th?
Yeah, a couple of weeks before the game comes out.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm sorry, you were wrong.
My God.
May 31st.
May 31st.
Fucking do it.
Jesus.
Yeah. May 31st, the game will unlock the Last of Us demo, and basically just giving you about 2 weeks before the game launches, which is coming out June 14th. So yeah.
At this point, Mark Annex and Nick Nitus are both running out of points by default.
God. Now here's the funny part, Rich. I don't know if you're going to know this. Sorry, Primrose. I'm not sure. Webster, I'm pretty sure you know this one. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Here we go. Mr. Primrose, your last question. How much will the XI3's PC rumored Steam box cost a gamer if they pre-order it between now and March 17th? Is it A, $999, B, $899, or C, $799?
Well, I've got to call this into question because there are three levels of that box with different hard drives.
Right. And so this is the base level of the box.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, that's there. Yeah.
So if you were to pre-order between now and March 17th, how much would that cost? $990, basically $1,000, $900, or $800? I'll make it simple.
Well, I know the price is $1,000. And I can't see them knocking $200 off it. I'd go for $100 off it. $900.
Congratulations, Mr. Primrose.
Well done.
Pulled it out at the end, which means Mr. Nick Nitrous, you won on the last question of the news quiz.
Can I just now zip forward to Chris on vacation in a couple of days when he hears his podcast?
Oh, by all means.
You crazy clowns. Crazy clowns.
Yeah. Yes. Marcanix, we're sorry. No joy this week. Nick, congratulations. You have 100 points in the bank. Mr. Primrose, you get the bonus question now. It is the ESRB Guess the Game question. If you get this right, you get another 100 points for Mr. Nick Nitrous. So here we go. This is an action game in which players assume the role of a young blank named blank blank who investigates a mystery surrounding an ancient queen. As blank, players explore blank and blank and use arrows, firearms, e.g. pistols, shotguns, machine guns, and bladed weapons to battle blank, blank, blank enemies and demonic soldiers. During several sequences, blank is depicted getting stabbed, beaten, strangled, or shot by enemies. These close-up deaths occur as fail scenarios, usually when players miss certain action cues. A handful of cutscenes also depict enemy characters shot at close range. What is this game?
Is this a game I played, or is it a new game?
It is new. I'll give you a time window of within 3 months. And it is not an obscure game. I'm not being mean to you guys.
Can you just read it out again?
Yes, I can. This is an action game in which players assume the role of a young blank named blank blank who investigates a mystery surrounding an ancient queen. As blank, players explore blank and blank and use arrows, firearms, e.g. pistols, shotguns, machine guns, and bladed weapons to battle blank blank, blank enemies, and demonic soldiers. During several sequences, blank is depicted getting stabbed, beaten, strangled, or shot by enemies. These close-up deaths occur as fail scenarios, usually when players miss certain action cues. A handful of cutscenes also depict enemy characters shot at close range.
The only one I can see that fitting at the minute is Tomb Raider. But you wouldn't go for that. But you have got the box.
You 20 seconds.
Is it... Rich, you got any input, mate?
The Queen thing throws me off. I've no idea what sort of game might revolve around a Queen. Like you said, maybe Tomb Raider, because it's archaeology.
Then again, it's demonic soldiers.
I don't know. See, I was thinking of another game until the demonic soldiers thing popped up. Then again, the ESRB are a bunch of, church-going Republican weirdos, so demonic soldiers could just be crazy men with guns.
Yeah.
Red eyes.
All right, Rich, give me a game.
I know there's some sort of supernatural stuff that comes into Tomb Raider at some point. They normally have that, so I'm going to say Tomb Raider, even though it's not, probably.
If it's wrong, can I have just a guess before you say the answer?
Yeah. Name.
And I will tell you, Mr. Webster, no, because he got it right.
Oh, there you go.
It's Tomb Raider.
Legend.
And Rich, you're the first one to get the ESRB summary. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Well done, mate.
Yeah. Bonus, yeah. So, bonus goes to...
I was going
to
say Angry Birds Mr. Space.
He never thought he was going to come out with 200 points way that quiz started. Telling you that.
No, I'm pretty sure he didn't. But, hey, it was good. That was fun. I like fun stuff. Even when we're facing failure, it's fun, right?
Yeah.
Sort of?
Yeah.
All right, good on you. Rich, that was actually good. It was good puzzle solving with Tomb Raider. See that? Puzzle solving?
Yeah.
All right, it's show break time.
Damn it,
Wester. When we come back from the break, we're jamming through the mailbag and trying to get this podcast moving.
Oh, just have both my legs blown off in Fallout.
His space adventures have touched the heart of a generation. Now, experience Master Chief like never before.
One more snipe. Give me one more snipe.
Waverly Records presents Master Chief Sings, featuring over 100 songs written and performed by Master Chief.
She don't even know my name, but I think she likes me just the same. Kill, kill, kill spree.
Recorded with cutting-edge Covenant technology, it'll feel like Master Chief is right there with you.
Master Chief, can you help me? I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Halo.
Master Chief Sings today. Space Marines are standing by.
You know I love you, but I just can't take this. You know I love you, but I'm Master Chief.
Alright, we are back from the break. And, we've got plenty of bad jokes ahead of us, I'm sure. We're going to cover this week's question, though. And this week's question was again, kind of poignant to some of our conversations earlier, and that is, what one game must you finish before you, well, in this case, trade in your current-gen console? Maybe in Mr. Big Bad Daddy's situation, it would be, what game do you have to play before you decide you're going to upgrade your PC?
Yeah, well, I mean... I like to go back to old games, but there are some that I put away. And one that's been bugging me, Greg, is Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts.
Oh,
should bother you. It should deeply bother you that you have not played and finished that game.
Because it's... I know there's a lot of complications to it, and it's... You know, you can do lots of stuff, and you've got to use your head and that. Basically, fucking kids can complete this game. So,
yeah.
This week I've been knuckling down and getting, like, the TT trophies...
How many jiggies you got?
Jiggies. 93, I think. I'm up to.
I got 99. I can't get the last one.
Nearly there.
Get jiggies. Sorry, I had to say it.
Jiggies.
Had to.
So I've been playing that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I still love it. Like, I love Lego, and I know you enjoyed it as well. So maybe before the next Xbox comes out, maybe I'll finish it. We'll see.
That's the best kids game I've played since the Xbox came out. Definitely. Me and the kids had hours on that. Really loved it.
Yeah, I mean, I can sit there for like 2 hours making one shitty little car that I'll never use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, totally.
It's crazy times.
What's worse is like you spend so much time creating up, you know, a build, and you're like, this is going to be awesome, and you go to test it, and it's just shit. Yeah. You're like, well, that's not going to work. But no, I love that game. The creativity side of that is just it is one of the few games out there that really gives you that just build what you want. For me, surprisingly, it's Skyrim.
Yeah.
I was playing Skyrim, and then I got away from it, and it has been very difficult for me to get back into it. And yet, I want to get back in and play it. I just haven't set the time aside. I think I'm afraid a little bit of how much of a time suck it's going to be, but it absolutely is the one game for sure I know I want to get in and play through the full story.
Yeah.
Or next gen.
You know, if you play, you say that, Greg, right? I've not done all of the different quest lines on it, but what I did was, I more or less, I did one quest line for the Stormcloaks, and then I just did the main story.
Right.
So for me, I feel like I finished it, but I can always go back when I want.
Well, see, and that's the thing, is I just need to go in and do the main story.
Yeah, that doesn't take that long, I don't think.
I think the main story is about 20, 30 hours.
Is it really that much?
Something like
20 more hours than I have in my life right now.
No, like if you level up and, you know, just generally I think it's about 20, 30 hours. I mean, overall, I think the average is about 120 hours.
Oh, Rich, you're going to do what you did the last time on the podcast. Remember when we was all talking about Red Dead Redemption? And I thought I'd finished the game. And then you guys told me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, by the way, you didn't finish the game.
Yeah, you missed the whole point of the name of the game.
And you just sold the game.
No, I didn't. I went back and I did finish it.
Oh, all right. Well, Mr. Primrose, what about you? What game do you have to go back and finish before the current gen ends and the next one begins?
Well, I think all of the question got a bit muddled up because what I was trying to say, and I think we addressed this a little bit in the forums, was what game would you say you have to play before you get rid of your console? So that could be something that you have played already, and it made that much of an impact that you'd be saying to somebody there, shit, play this game, because it's got to be played before you get rid of this console. So if it's in that context, then I would be telling everybody to go out and play. God, this is so odd, because it'd be between Portal 2 and Bioshock, because they are the two games that have had the biggest impact on me. But for overall experience, when I was actually playing it at the time, because I basically had the weekend of the house to myself, and I just got to pants and vest it for 2 whole days with eating beans on toast, and it would be Bioshock. So I'd go for Bioshock for a recommendation. One that I've got to finish.
Right.
It's got to be, because of what everybody say about it, the one that I've got on this Xbox now, this Fallout 3, because I'm feeling that I've missed something, so I've come back to it, and I want to see what everybody else has seen. So
yeah, you got to finish that. Make sure you get the Broken Steel DLC, though.
Broken Steel.
Yeah.
You need that.
And I think it's been permanently reduced now, too, so you should be able to get that on the cheap.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I don't want to spoil anything, but basically, the way the story ends in Fallout 3, a lot of people weren't happy with, so they made Broken Steel DLC to not so much alter the ending, but give you something extra to do at the end, kind of like Mass Effect 3.
Exactly.
Would you say they kind of uncapped the story, Rich?
Yeah, it kind of like... Yeah.
Ooh, going back to that...
Have you got a recommendation?
God, my recommendation. That actually is a very difficult question to answer because there are so many good quality games that, I mean, I'm trying to think of what would be a good kind of all around, like, this represents the best of what this generation has to offer. And, you know, I mean, a part of me would say, you know, the original Call of Duty Modern Warfare, just because it was so impactful and it did so much for multiplayer on the consoles. And I know COD is definitely diluted now, but I mean, if you had one game you had to play from this current generation, that might be one, because the single player story was great. The multiplayer was great, but
that'd be great now.
Maybe Uncharted 2. I could say that is a overall fantastic game worthy of somebody going back and experiencing what the best of this gen has to offer.
See, I mean, I probably should say Skyrim, but I wouldn't, because I see it more of a PC game, because half the appeal for me is the mods and stuff. So
right,
take that out
right.
of the equation, I'd probably say Red Dead. Because
oh, yeah, Red Dead.
Because if you look at Red Dead, yeah. like, it was sublime, and, like, it was elegant. The storytelling was great, the voice acting was great, gameplay was great, the world, everything that was going on around you, and the multiplayer, everything. It was sort of the best part about everything we love in games, like graphics, storytelling, voice acting, multiplayer. I think that had everything.
Yeah, no, and if you think about it, not only was it just a fantastic this generation game, probably the best Western ever made for video games.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, no, I could get behind that suggestion for sure. All right, well, let's find out what the community had to say. Mr. Primrose, why don't you get over to Gate and give me some of their responses, please.
Right. So, we put the question out to Gaming for the Elderly. And basically, the first reply was from Ginger Ninja, leader of the Call of Duty clan. At first, I thought, this is easy. Nice, simple answer. But as I thought about it a bit harder, things got more complicated. Could one game be a game that I haven't started? Well, yes, obviously. But then, is it a game that I haven't got yet? I don't see anything that I am that excited for, to be honest. Nothing on the horizon that must have to, so it goes back to something I have and yet to finish. Well, my pile of shame is very limited, so I decided to look at it from a different angle. Do I want to get the DLC and get the Chivos? This makes it a very simple choice, Skyrim. Now, I know there is no end to Skyrim with most of other games, so I figure getting all of the achievements of Skyrim is the closest that I will come to finish. Having got everything from the base game to the Half-Fire DLC already, I have restarted the game and I'm playing it very differently now. I know what I am doing, so I'm not in a hurry to pick up the two big DLCs, but I do want to finish them. Well, get them finished effectively anyway. And that's his simple answer. And then we had Corzan. I'm a bit like Ginge. I'd love to get all of the Chivos for Skyrim, but I doubt it would have ever happened. The other one that I really want to finish is the one that I really enjoy, but I've neglected a bit as Skyrim pulled me back in. And that would be CP's favourite of all time, XCOM. That's definitely doable. I've got to finish XCOM. Shinyverse, he put in, I keep forgetting to play Journey. I guess because it's a downloadable title, and I never see a box for it reminding me to play it. Sent from him to us. There you go. Postnik knows, okay, I'll play by tour rules. Despite my resolution not to play the next box until I've completed 70 games from his pile of shame, yeah, Postnik's currently got a challenge. Where he's going to have to complete 70 games before he commits to buying a new console. So the question would probably be Skyrim, simply because it's the longest game remaining in his pile of shame. He's determined to finish it, even though he hasn't started it yet. Oh, God, that's daunting. Before I move on to next gen.
Yeah.
Incidentally, this is a good opportunity to thank everybody for the encouragement. I'm slightly ahead of my goal of 70 games in 40 weeks, and I'm currently three quarters of the way through Forza 4 Season 9. He's doing a Christopher Matthew there. And that will be one of his big ones behind him. Spork, he's hacking away at Skyrim, but he doesn't think he could stop himself getting an Xbox before he finishes it. He'd probably be buying an Xbox next box, just because he can't justify spending the cash. He will plan on upgrading a year or two after launch, maybe. Yes. Huh. So his would be Skyrim. And then he goes on to about what's truly about finishing the game, and we all have different opinions on that. Andy 93285, he put in, as of today, the last game I really want to finish because I'm going over to PC gaming. Greg, are you listening? I'm not joining next gen. It will be Mass Effect 3. I have never played any of the trilogy until I picked it up in the Christmas sale, and he has saved his whole crew in number 2. I just heard him talking about that on another forum, and he's just about to start the final assault on Earth for number 3. So by the time this podcast will be recorded, there hopefully will be no game that he needs to finish before he switches over to his PC. David the Alien. Only game I can think of would be GTA 5. That's what he's up for. Okay. That's going to take some time as well, isn't it? I can remember how long GTA 4 took me to finish. Actually, two games that I want to finish before Next Generation hits. Dark Souls. Oh, I've got to do that. And I absolutely love it, but I keep getting sucked into Skyrim. I haven't really got back into Dark Souls, so that's a definite must. Two is Dragon's Dogma. Okay, don't actually own this game, but it's one game that I would play, and it's the only one in my Amazon wishlist that I can't get on the PC. Another one moving over to PC. There, Greg, taking note. there are some other games that I want to play on my Xbox, which is Azura's Wrath. Mike would go, why the hell?
Yeah, I would too.
Enslaved, that's worthy of a play. Some frustrating things in it, but I enjoyed it. Ghostbusters, Final Fantasy 13, Castlevania Lords of Shadow. I want to do that one. You know what? When we went to Eurogamer 2 years ago, that was my game of the show, and I've still not bloody played it. Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
But if I never get round to them, it's really not that big a deal. Incidentally, when I finished Far Cry 3, I realised there's quite a useful little tool you've got on the Game for the Elderly. There's a trading post, so you can put games up for trade if you don't want to get the old crappy trading thing. So.
And what's nice is they have a UK trading post and a US trading post. So.
So I put that up in there, and I didn't put Castlevania on that list, actually. I should have done that. Or did I? I think I did. But anyway, I've been offered Batman Arkham City already, so because I want to finish that. I might take him up on that. I think I will, if he bloody gets back to me.
If anybody offers you Aliens Colonial Marine, just say no.
No. I had a specific list that I wanted people to offer because I didn't want to be rude and tell them to go fuck themselves with Alien Colonial Marines. SLH, but I've got a long list, and I won't be getting the next gen immediately. But if I had to pick, it would be Skyrim, just for the sheer sense of the achievement. I'll feel when I finally finish it. Yes. And Steve Amati put, you're all fools! Fools! If you think you'll finish Skyrim before the end of the year. To me, finishing a game is simply getting to the ending. That's like me, Steve-O. I'm not bothered about the achievements. Achievements don't bother me. For me, it isn't any game that I want to need to complete before moving on to next gen. I have a number of games in my pilot to get through, but most were purchased very cheap, so no issues if I get them years from now. New and Shiny wins every time.
Okay.
Woody, this is the last one. I'm currently working on Dragon's Dogma and highly enjoy it. After that, I'd like to get The Witcher 2 and XCOM finished. Though I have a huge pile of shame, I think that will have to do. I'm moving on to The Witcher 2 next, and I think I'll get that one done, but XCOM looks as though it's really high difficult risk factor that is putting me off. If I get DD and The Witcher, the one other game, the one game I think I'll be doing okay. That brings on another interesting point. I'm sorry to dwell, but just hear me out.
I thought you were going to be talking about grammar and reading.
No, that's just me being a crap reader. don't worry about that. I am no Christopher Matthew. Anyway, coming up to the end of this year, there's a lot of people that will be hanging on and not getting a new console, i.e. me. Right. So, there's going to be a load of games coming out this year, and I've got plenty to finish. And I've already noticed, compared to last year, I'm not buying as many games as I did. Do you not think that next year there's going to be some shit-hot bargains floating around for games?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be brilliant, isn't it? Might be worth it, yeah. Hang off. Don't get that new shiny console yet. Relax. Anyway, Greg.
Relax. All right. Lag, we did post over there and had some responses. So GamerGirl27, she chimed in. So I can't just say my pile of shame. Well, I don't intend on trading mine in because I won't be getting the new Xbox at launch, but I guess if I had to pick one, it'd be Skyrim. Although I'm not real sure that game can ever be finished. We had The Real Defoe chimed in. I've got two games that must be finished. Sadly, I never finished Mass Effect 3 or Red Dead Redemption. CP Matthew just chimed in saying, in case I wasn't clear, one game. I'm pretty sure everybody just kind of bypassed that thought. Thuper didn't really give anything to the conversation other than a lull. And then we had Dantology. It says, after all of this time, I've yet to really touch the single player of Battlefield 3. And I'm right there with you. I'm not sure I have to finish it, though. But I started to play it, and I never got to it. Ensign Deadmeat chimed in, saying, my current pile of shame is so large that it's hard to pick just one. However, the one I must finish before moving on has got to be Halo 4. However, like Gamma Girl said, I don't intend to give up my current Xbox that quickly. And The Real Defoe chimed in and said, since I treated this question like it came from my wife, whereas I did not pay attention, the one game I must finish is Mass Effect 3. So, yeah, there you go, Mass Effect 3. Rich, did we have any tweets regarding the question of the week?
No, there's not really any relating to the question of the week.
Did we have a tweet that might have had a question?
Yes, we did have a tweet that had a question, but I thought you had a note of that, Gregors. So, therefore, I will have to go down and I will find this question, which we can pass around. Late question for the team. And this is late because it was late last week, so now we're going to make it even later by doing it this week. Can you remember the very first mission from a uber huge game franchise? So can you remember your first missions from various games?
Various games, no, but I think for me, Halo stands out. When you first are woken up and you're on the ship and it all goes kind of hell in a handbasket and you have to get off the ship. I mean, I consider that to be kind of the first mission of that game. And I'd say Halo qualifies as an uber huge game franchise. That to me was a very poignant moment because that was when I realized when I played that, because it was on a friend's Xbox. I didn't have an Xbox at the time. I played that and I immediately knew I needed to get an Xbox.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Mr. Webster? Do you have a one that stands out?
Well, the Skyrim one is a fucking dragon, for Pete's sake. That's quite cool. However, probably Medal of Honor Frontline, the start mission.
Medal of Honor Frontline, wow.
Yeah, the it was basically Saving Private Ryan, D-Day landing.
Yeah.
And it just, when I played that game for the first time and that mission, I think that was the first time where it sort of crossed between where a game can seem so real, because it just felt, you know, it was like, you know, bullets whizzing past, people were getting killed, grenades going off, and it was like, it was really intense, like the start of Saving Private Ryan. I think that always stands out when I think about.
Let me ask you a quick question, and I don't recall the timing of that game, but had Saving Private Ryan already come out?
Yeah.
And do you think, because you had seen Saving Private Ryan, that maybe it helped give just that much more immersion to that opening cinematic?
Definitely, yeah.
It just the thought popped in my head as we were talking about it, and I was like, I remember that. I remember that first mission. I remember how I felt, and I remember it was just like you said, you having flashbacks to Saving Private Ryan the entire time.
Mm. I mean,
that was the first game.
No, I was just going to say, if you watched it and played it side by side, it looked like shit. But because, like, you know, you might have watched it a year or two before, it's just sort of little memories, and it just seemed really realistic.
Yeah.
The thing that got me about that was that it was the first time that I'd heard really good sound in the game. And it was like they'd lifted it straight out of the film, you know, with the bullets whizzing past the rear and stuff.
I think it did that thing where the camera was going underwater and up again. And
yeah, you know, yeah, that's really right, cool. Yeah.
Primrose, what about you?
First
mission?
Oh, dear. The one that was really impactful for me was the Bioshock beginning, where you're in the water.
Oh, yeah.
And then you go down into Rapture and you get to see what this whole world is. That was awesome.
That was fantastic. That.
Yeah.
Talk about cinematic. Yeah.
And I did myself a real disfavor the other week. I had the iPad on, and I kicked out, did put a link up for the first 5 minutes or so of Bioshock Infinite.
Oh.
And it's much the same. It looks really impressive.
Yeah, I can't wait for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody's excited for that. All right, Mr. Webster.
Yes.
We're going to turn the email over to you.
Yeah, but we've received a lovely, well-written email from Mr. Parsnip Nose. He says, I'm wondering, does the way you sit have an effect on your performance in a video game? Interesting question. I've noticed that when I sit back and relax in an armchair, my play style is very relaxed. This makes me useless at FPS or driving games. However, if I sit leaning forward, my reactions are faster and I am more attentive, so I perform better. Have any of you noticed anything similar? Take care.
Oh my god, yes. Absolutely. In fact, when I'm playing single-player games, I have no problem sitting back. Any single-player game, doesn't matter. I can sit back and basically just relax into the couch, not a problem. If I am playing anything competitive online, I am absolutely at the edge of the couch, sitting straight up, leaning forward in, like, intense on the screen. I cannot play just sitting back, laid back. I've tried, and inevitably, I wind, you know, to the edge of the couch. I find myself at the edge of the couch again, sitting forward.
Yeah, I'm the same. Even, like, on my PC. Like, if I'm relaxing playing on my PC, I'll sit back. But if I'm, like, in, you know, playing Battlefield or something, I'll proper sit forward. But you're close anyway, so I think it's just ingrained because I'm the same as you. If I'm on my couch, I'll sit forward to the point where my neck will get really sore. Do you know what I mean? Just sit there for, like, 2 hours playing Call of Duty, and then all of a sudden you can't move your head. What about you, Rich?
Yeah.
I've got... I like distance, the distance between me and the television as well. I've got a cushioned footstool, and if I'm playing Call of Duty or something, I normally get better results if I'm sat on that. leaning forward. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for the email, Parsnip. We're going to talk about next week's question, which is pretty straightforward, and we already talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but it's moving to the next generation. Would you be more in favor of a microtransaction free-to-play game model, or do you want to see the full retail game model kind of continue on as it is now? So ponder that. And with that said, it's our time for jingle.
Starsky's board. Let's do this.
All right, so Monday Night Halo, still happening, 8 p.m. GMT. There's no official late session anymore, so it is on British time, 8 p.m. Gross Mountain Time. There you go, in the U.K. It's about 12 o'clock West Coast time, so if you're, you know, happen to be on your lunch break, jump in for some Halo. Moving on through the week, Friday Night Halo is also happening, and that is, again, 8 p.m. GMT. No official late sessions after that, but, of course, they kind of just get going and they play. So if you happen to be on, again, 12 p.m. Pacific time or around 3 o'clock Eastern, you're taking the day off on Friday, jump on for some Halo. We also have they're trying to revise the Friday Night Racing. I believe there is a move underway on the Gate forums to get it back. So if you're interested in Friday Night Racing, check out the forums. I think they're trying to bring it back around. Sunday F1 Championship happens basically every other Sunday. Everyone is welcome. Basically craziness ensuing in the F1 Racing Championships. There is a veteran gamer playdate happening sometime on Sunday around 6 p.m. GMT. Who knows what they're going to be playing? My guess, Full House Poker. F1 Hot Lap Challenge. Also, it's mirroring the tracks being played in the F1 Racing Championship. So if you like doing the Hot Lap Challenges, there is plenty to happen, be had on the Gate forums, because there's F1 as well as Forza 4 Hot Lap Challenges. And before you say it, as you're listening to this, I know not nearly as good at doing this as Mr. Matthew. He's rehearsed and practiced. 24/7 Minecraft servers for the Xbox 360. If you like Minecraft, you like playing it on the Xbox 360, you need to be a Gate member, g4te.com. You join up, you can send a friend request to the g4te Minecraft server, and you'll be able to play on our server. Monday and Tuesday is survival mode. Wednesday through Sunday is set to peaceful mode, so it's happy times on Minecraft.
And they've started a new world. So it's quite...
They have started the new world. Yes, you can get your own plot of little grassy knoll somewhere on the map. Call of Duty Clan for Black Ops 2 is continuing and ongoing with Ginge Ninja being the contact point for membership. So if you want to be in the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 clan, contact him. Also, the Halo 4 tournament continues to go. Womble MK3 is leading the charge on that and doing a fine job, as well as the XCOM tournament, XCOM Enemy Unknown tournament, being hosted by Metric Pizza. Again, fantastic. I'm already going to say this. We're going to have another tournament, and we'll make Metric run it again, even though he may not want to, but he's doing a great job of it, and it's so much fun. Birthdays this week. Happy birthday to Mr. Nick Nitrous.
Yep. Happy birthday.
And he's, yeah, not only is he turning older, but he's getting points.
Happy birthday, mate. Don't mention it.
New members to G4TE, we've got Gonzuelo and Watcher 0187. Thanks for joining. And victories achieved this week, we've got Skullduggerer finished Far Cry 3. Congratulations, Skull. Skidmark 27 finished The Walking Dead episodes 2 through 5. Best Dutch finished Borderlands 2. Amaras 89 finished Tomb Raider. Jonesy finished Dead Island. Marcanix finished Tomb Raider, Uncharted Drake's Fortune, The Amazing Spider-Man, and The Walking Dead episodes 3 through 5. Marcanix, far too much time on your hands. John Mouse finished Fallout 3. Damdelango, sorry if I'm saying that wrong. I apologize. But finished Portal 2. And Parsnip Nose 3000 finished Forza 4. These people all are basically taking pictures of their finished game, and they're sending off a tweet to the Victory Achieved contest, and they send a tweet to @g4te.com. That's all spelled out, spell the dot. And they send a picture of their face along with the end credits of the game, and they get entered into a contest to win stuff. And so the next contest is started, but you need to get everything in by April 30th. So you still have plenty of time. Every game you finish, take a picture of yourself. It must be your face. Can't be other body parts. And we know what body parts you're talking about, Mr. Webster. No, it's got to be your face in the picture, along with the end game credits and or something that signifies you finished the single player portion of the game. It could be the achievement for winning it all. Who knows? But need to take that picture, send it off to @g4te.com, and you will be in the Victory Achieved contest and probably get a shout out on this very show. That brings me to the community spotlight from one Mr. Parsnip Knows.
Hello everybody, this is Parsnip with another weekly community spotlight. This week I would like to mention Jay Wright. He is the son of Mark Wright, who is Mark Enix. Now, a very big life-changing event happened to Jay this week, and it was a very good one too, because he passed his driving test. So that is an absolute life-changer, isn't it? Congratulations, Jay, and commiserations every other road user in West Yorkshire. So anyway, just kidding, I'm sure you're very responsible. Anyway, take care, well done, Jay, and I will see you guys next week for another community spotlight. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for that, Mr. Parsnip. Always a pleasure having you on the show. I could not hear any of that, unfortunately. I'm going to have to go back and listen to it, guys. Because literally, for whatever reason on my end, I couldn't hear it. Hopefully, you guys heard it.
Yeah, driving test. Somebody passed. It was Mark Enix's son. Well done. Good man.
Oh, yeah. Well done, then. Yes. I think that kind of just takes us into the final throes of the show. iTunes reviews, Mr. Webster. You remember how important those were to us?
Yeah, they're like money in your pocket, basically.
If only, yeah. Although we would be poor on the amount of iTunes reviews we have right now. We need more. If you'd be so inclined, you maybe listen to the show for the first time. Maybe you listen to a couple of them. You're like, yeah, these guys aren't so bad. Give us an iTunes review. Jump on there. The more iTunes reviews we get, of course, the further up we go on the list, the more people discover us, the better off everybody is. Really, that's the way it works. Yes. you can send an email to the show, Mr. Primrose.
Yeah,
you're well versed in this business.
Yeah, emails are podcast. Is it @gmail.com?
Wow, Rich, really?
I haven't done the email in God knows how long. Oh. In fact, Mike stole the Twitter off me. You should only ever trust me with the Twitter.
OC Podcast.
It's ocpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. You were close. You were close.
Far off, wasn't it?
People can now post as well, snail mail to the show. I don't know if you were aware of this, Greg. Basically, the local pizza house nearby, if you post a letter to them, I'll read it. I'll get it. Miami Pizza. Witness, Cheshire. Okay. They'll pick it up. I'll pick it up and see them every Friday. So I'll read your letters out and yeah.
Amazingly enough, just that mention of pizza has now set me off into this complete like hunger. Like I now I'm really really hungry. You can tweet us and listen to either myself or Rich respond to you. I guess not really listen to it. You'd have to read it. That's the way the Twitters work. You know, it's not an audio thing. It's a visual reading thing. But that's @OC_podcast. This is a horrible ending to the show. I cannot believe how bad this is. But yeah, it's fitting. It really is. And that's it. We're going to do some shout outs. If you want to be represented in our news quiz, you know how Nick Nitrous just won some fabulous Microsoft points. They're shiny. They're new. They smell like a new car, even if you put them up to your nose. All you need to do is tweet #OC Podcast Play Misty for me. very important, you get the pound OC or
hashtag,
exactly. Hashtag OC podcast, play Misty for me. That's all spelled out. Real words, no numbers, no elite business going on there. Yeah. Just tweet that. We'll get you into the mix for a potential contestant. We'll guarantee a spot, but chances are good. With that said, Mr. Webster, why don't you start us off with some shout-outs?
Yeah, okay. I'd like to shout out Sponge Cake. I'd like to shout out you guys for welcoming me onto the show again, open arms, for a special occasion, you know. It's the biggest night of the year tonight. You know,
some would say
yeah,
that.
not many people.
Oh,
I want to shout out Duke Scath, because he's wholeheartedly waiting on my my update, my mod I'm making. And it's a Skyrim mod. It's not like a modification for a car or something. It was sent.
I know, I've heard he's actually put his whole life on hold for this mod. He's waiting.
He messages me and everything. He's really excited, probably more than I am, actually. But he's loving it. And I want to shout out my fish, because I've kept him awake late tonight. So shout out to Austin. He's a goldfish. Did you get it?
Goldfish. Got it.
Gold member, yeah.
Gold member.
Rich,
nice.
Go.
Yes, I'm going to shout out podcast. That would be Boss Wave again. They're continuing to do very good work, and much appreciating having another one on my playlist. It's very good.
I was listening to him earlier today.
Yeah, it's good.
Good stuff. Good. Yeah.
Nerdist podcast, which Mike mentioned. I've mentioned it before. Great one with Tom Morello, guitarist from Rage Against the Machine. I won't listen to that the week. Some brilliant ones there to cherry pick from. So,
I need to give them another listen. The last time I listened to them, I was not overly impressed, I have to admit.
Well, I'm enjoying.
No, that's okay.
I'm going to shout out as well, and this is very selfish. Transatlantic Rants, Fraser Moores, because on Sunday I'm recording one with him, and if he thinks somebody can moan, then he hasn't seen anything yet. So if he wants a ranter, he's got one. So, yeah, I'm going to be recording the next episode of the Transatlantic Rants. So that should be good. And last one, DJ Sasha, Involver, Free. The album's out next week, and it's going to be sublime, because they always are. So,
can techno be sublime?
It's not techno, mate. It's not techno.
It's all techno, Rich.
No, it's not. It's got the foals on there, for God's sake.
The fonz.
The foals. Or foals. Foals.
I'm not up with these new age kids' music.
That's a band.
I don't know who they are.
Who are these Beatles you talk of?
Yeah. Anyway, Gregors, over to you.
Yes, I would like to shout out my riches, because I feel like I have been showered in riches today.
Yeah, we're your riches.
Yeah, you like that, don't you? Actually, that sounded kind of bad, the showering with riches thing. Anyway, no, thank you, Mr. Webster, for jumping on the show. It has been just incredibly fun, and we miss you, dude. We miss you.
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good to be back with you guys. Yeah. Missed you too.
Yeah. I would like to shout both of you out once again, an additional shout out for your fantastic, fantastic news quiz abilities.
All right, Greg. All right.
Oh, come on. You know I love you guys. I want to shout out Metric Pizza, because, God damn it, I love the XCOM tournament, probably because I won my first match, but I'm enjoying it. I want more. Rich Skulldugger, you are next. I want to shout out to Chandy. It was a blast playing with you and meeting you. I want to shout out Washington Rambo, because I rag on you for sucking at Halo 4, but you are one of the nicest guys in the world, so I really am not mad at you. Love playing the game with you, so don't worry. And that's it. Oh, wait. No. Shout outs to Mr. Christopher Matthew for he sent me a Skype message during our podcast, assuming the vacation is going well, Chris. And I also want to shout out Mike Chin for being a lazy bastard and not being on the show, thinking sleep was more important. Whatever. Primrose, I believe, no, it was Mr. Webster. Again, confusing my riches. I believe you had one more shout out.
It was just to say, if anyone hasn't seen it yet, Django Unchained is probably one of the best films I've seen in like the last 5 years. Apart from obviously The Hobbit, because that was just jizz in a jar. But Django Unchained was absolutely amazing. Anyone who hasn't seen it, go see it. Very good.
Is jizz in a jar really a good thing?
I don't know. Ask your wife. Whoa.
Oh, you
that,
didn't
that makes
go
no
there.
Sense. What, of giving your wife a jar of jizz? Ooh. That makes no sense.
And on that note, we're out of here.
See ya.
Unblank that. So I'm being generous with my unblanking.
It's all right, Mike's not here. You don't have to worry about your blanks.
all right. Here, I think we're ready. Are we ready?
Yeah, why not? Let's be ready.
All right. Let's be ready. Here we go. Actually, snap mine. I have the right ear cup is duct taped.
Yeah,
well, I shouldn't say duct tape. Just taped with regular old tape.
I'm using Blue Tack.
Nice.
Yeah, both ear pieces Blue Tack.
Next step will be taping up our heads with the ear cups to our heads.
Next step will be the SingStar mic.
What's this? Remind Greg about Stu's idea for the quiz.
That's not me.
Okay.
Delete.
Yeah. Delete.
Hey! Yeah.
And then we're going to do news quiz with you.
All right, okay.
What do you think of that? Yeah. Oh, dear Lord.
It's those gusty Yorkshire gales. So that is.
All right. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
People say.
Come on now.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.